Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship at College Park. So excited to be together. A few announcements we'd like to make. First of all, we'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way that we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Now, please take this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose, and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it reaches that last person, when you're done, please send it back to where it began. First person, when it comes back to you, if you wouldn't mind, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you so much. There's a lot going on, and I want to tell you about a few of those things. Many of these are listed in your bulletin. Draw your attention to a couple of those. We have our regular church conference this coming Wednesday. Make note of that. Also, today is the final day for deacon nominations to be in. Make sure that is in by, I believe, 5 o'clock. Is that right? This afternoon, you'll be able to get those deacon elections, deacon nominations, excuse me, in. Also, we are having children's time today. Misprint in the bulletin. We are having children's time. Just come down here right after hymn number 227. The first hymn, and we will talk for just a few minutes. Calendar change, the salad supper that is listed for Tuesday evening. If you come this Tuesday, you'll be the only ones here because it was last Tuesday. So make sure they had a great time together. This Tuesday, it's not happening. So make note of that. John, come on, buddy.
Good morning. I have been asked by a lot of people about the mission relief efforts down east, and so I wanted to give you guys an update. I went down Friday evening and spent yesterday with Terry Leffler going around and doing assessments, which is sort of phase one of the recovery process. As we go down, people have called in and have said, you know, this is what I need, and so we have to send somebody out to make sure that the information we got over the phone is accurate to the reality of the situation so that we send the right people in to help them. So Terry and I did that yesterday, and we were in the Fayetteville area. A lot of folks have asked me, based on, you know, the news coverage and things, I've heard a lot of folks saying, are you going to Lumberton? There was a team that went to Lumberton, but Lumberton was part of the area that is just now starting to recede in the crest of the waters, and so they are limited as to who they can send in there until that sort of comes back down. But Fayetteville was equally as hit, and I wanted to tell you guys sort of what I saw in terms of a story of a man named Jimmy that I met. Jimmy is the grand patriarch of his family. We actually went to his home for him and his wife, but all of their children and grandchildren were there. And Jimmy, the reason I want to tell you about Jimmy is because everybody kept telling us during the floodwaters. Now, remember, I said this is a grandfather. He was carrying children out by the armload because, as he told me, that the waters were too deep for the children in their neighborhood to get out safely. So he was carrying numerous children, not just his own, back and forth through the water to get them out safely. And I said, well, you know, Jimmy, you're really a hero for all those people and all those families that you helped. And so in looking at Jimmy's house, Jimmy gave us a hug for us being there, because Jimmy's house, while he was carrying all these children out, his house had water up about 3 feet throughout the whole house. And so they had already started taking their belongings out there and also tearing out the walls and getting that ready. But what was not unique about Jimmy was that Jimmy lives in a neighborhood that was built by Habitat. And there was a planned neighborhood from Habitat of about 120 homes. And while Jimmy seemed unique to me, 93 of the houses in this neighborhood had also been flooded to that level. And so Habitat was bringing in Habitat International, that they were actually going to sweep through the whole neighborhood and work on rebuilding that entire neighborhood, because there were so many houses that were affected. And the flood insurance was not going to be able to cover that. Because most people didn't have flood insurance. Most people have insurance that covers rain that comes down, not water that comes up. And so Habitat is going to go through and sweep that whole neighborhood. And so as we were driving to Jimmy's house, the entire neighborhood was lined with piles of folks' belongings and their lives out on the curb, where they were cleaning out everything that they owned and planning to get that replaced. And so that's the kind of thing that we saw. And then, you know, we might go to the next neighborhood over and somebody had some, like a tree fall in their backyard and not hit anything but the fence. And they were equally as gracious for our presence there, thanking us that we were there to get somebody to help them clean that up. I spoke to an 87-year-old lady who was obviously not going to get out with a chainsaw and clean up her 7 cedar trees that had fallen over. But they had all fallen on the neighbor's fence, and they had been neighbors for about 50 years. And so they said, you guys take your time, go help somebody that really needs it. We can deal with this fence and these trees, and we would just appreciate a hand whenever you get to us. So people were very gracious, but there is a great need down there. And as I said, this week they will be discovering more needs along the Neuse River and the Tar River, as those waters have just gotten to the point where people can go see. So my plan is to go this coming Friday evening and work Saturday and Sunday down there. And then if folks want to come along and stay longer, they're welcome to. Obviously, we're not going to get it all done in a weekend. So, but I'm planning to go this Friday and would be happy to have any volunteers that want to come with me. I'll have Joan send out the email again with my contact information if you would be interested in going. And then, as I mentioned on Wednesday night, the Baptists, plural, on missions, baptistsonmission.org is the North Carolina disaster relief arm of the Baptist men. And so that's where you can support. And then Grace has also set it up that if you want to support through the church, you can just earmark your donation for flood relief, and she will make sure that gets to the organizations to support us. So talk to me this week if you have any questions. If you're interested in going, I'll be happy to let you know what all we need in terms of what you need to go to be prepared. And I would be happy for you to join me down there next weekend as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. John.
There will continue to be needs for a long time in the state we call home. And we know that we'll have many opportunities. Just last night, some of our teenagers chose to instead of going to a fun Halloween park, Spooky Woods, they took their money and decided to buy some hurricane relief for some teenagers who got displaced from the Kennedy Baptist Children's Home in Kinston. And there's going to be plenty of opportunities for us to be the hands and feet of Christ, and we certainly want to keep those people in our prayers and thoughts. A couple other announcements I want to make you aware of. It's in your bulletin. Volunteer training for the Forsyth Jail Ministry. That's that's a vital ministry that our church participates in. There is training that's happening both today and tomorrow. And actually, the training tomorrow is here at College Park, special for us. So we hope if you're interested in that ministry, you must get trained before you're allowed to go there. So please be a part of those training opportunities. Other things are listed there in your bulletin. Just make sure you make note of those. We want to say a special welcome to our guests now. You've already given us your information on the pew pad a moment ago, and we're thankful for that. We have ushers that would like to give something to you. So just raise your hand if you're a guest right where you are. They're going to find you and give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation and a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you so much for being a part of worship this day. It's good to be together and the sun is shining. And we know that God is here, but sometimes there are things that in our life that we just let get in the way, even though we can see the sun shining. We forget that God is still in control. And I want you and I to be assured today, God is here. Let us prepare to meet him face to face. Will you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, we see you, and we feel your presence. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that we are not alone. Whether the flood waters are rising, or the worries within us invade our lives, you are alive. And we come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to see everybody today. I'm going to take you in your mind. I don't want you to tell me out loud, but I have a question that when I say it, I want you to just think it. The answer to my question. Okay? Can you do that for me? Just think it. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay. Have you ever gotten in trouble? Leave it inside. I don't want to hear. Have you ever, in your mind, yeah, that's obvious. I didn't say that. I repeated it. Have you ever gotten in trouble? In your mind. Okay. Now, in your mind, did that make you feel good to get in trouble? Oh. Oh, yeah, never mind. Okay, that's why I don't want to hear it. I don't need to know these stories. But don't we get in trouble and we don't like being in trouble? But you know what? When mommy or daddy finds that we did something wrong and they have to punish us, that's a bad feeling, right? But don't you know down deep, deep, deep in your heart that mommy and daddy always love you? Even if they punish you, or even if they take something away because you did something wrong, does that change that they love you? You know way down deep inside, right, that even when bad stuff is happening, mommy and daddy always love you, right? That feeling that you feel when mommy and daddy love you no matter what, that is called joy. That no matter what's going on and I mess something up, mommy and daddy never stop loving me. That is the greatest news, because do you know how they know how to love like that? Because God loves us like that. That is what joy is. That is what Pastor Raymond is going to talk about this morning. Joy. That's just a fun word to say. Can you say joy with me? Joy. No, you got it. Oh, y'all got to help us out. That joy. All right. Are you ready? One, two, three. Joy. You can't help but smile when you say that word. That, I know. Joy. All right. That is what we're talking about this morning. Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much that even when stuff is happening around us, we can trust you. You love us no matter what. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go back to
Ministry of God's Word comes from Psalm 33. I invite you to turn in your Bible, or there's a pew Bible there in front of you, page 396. I'll be reading out of the New International Version. Psalm 33. Sing joyfully to the Lord, you righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-string lyre. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the earth of the world revere him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you.
I pray with me? Our gracious and merciful Father, we come today to enter into your presence in a corporate sense. Because, Father, we acknowledge that you walk with us daily, that you never leave us, you never forsake us. Father, it's in the grip of that promise, Father, that we place our trust in a heavenly Father who loves us so dearly that you never leave us. Father, we pray this morning earnestly for those who are hurting, whatever life circumstance has placed upon them this week, has placed upon us this week, we ask for your help. We lay that at your feet, and we trust you with the result. But Father, there are so many that need our help too. As your hands and feet, there are many ways that we can demonstrate your love for us and for one another. So we pray that we would keep our ears attentive as we go through this week, taking time to listen to people, to hear where they're hurting, to offer help as it is appropriate and led by you. Father, also to observe with our eyes. Father, to see people at their point of need and at their place where they feel helpless and hopeless. God, touch us in a way that leads us in a path that will help. Father, we lean on you to know where it is that you would have us to go, where you would have us to be, and how you would direct us to help. Father, we make ourselves available and trust you. Father, as we continue in a time of worship, we pray that this time would be an opportunity for us to refocus on the things of you, not of our own selfish desires, but the things that you would have us to focus on during this time, that we would align our wills with yours. And as we do that, we will give you the praise and glory for all that you will do through us, for us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray.
I'm sure as Jesus is mine. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you that amidst the darkness in this world, you are our light. You are our hope. You are our anchor. We know that all good comes from you. We praise you for the word that we have to guide us, for your Holy Spirit that leads us. We thank you for the many opportunities that will come our way this week to serve you and to share your light with the world. We pray that we will take advantage of those opportunities and let your light shine through us. We pray that you'll take these offerings that are given today and that they will be used to share your light and your beauty with the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Choose joy. Choose joy. That's what we're going to talk about today. And I want to invite you to read along with me one of my favorite passages of Scripture. It is just an incredible It's an incredible letter. The book of Philippians, the letter that Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, is quite remarkable in many ways. Among those many ways are these verses that I want to read to you this morning. I'll begin reading in verse 4 of chapter 4, where Paul writes these words. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Remarkable writings from the Apostle Paul. As I read this, I had numerous resources that I consulted, more than I can list for you this morning. But as I read this passage, my mind was taken to those believers. Do any of you know any believer who apparently absolutely has no joy in their life? Don't say their name out loud. It's kind of like the children's sermon. You know, don't say this. This is a hypothetical question. Do you know a believer, who's someone who says they know Christ, but yet they have absolutely, apparently from external evidence, have absolutely no joy in their life? Kind of like Eeyore on two legs. Oh, well, I don't. You know, I mean, that's a visual for you. You know, kind of like Eeyore. You know what? Why are they like that? They're believers. You know, they have every reason as believer to be joy-filled. So why aren't they? And even more importantly than that, how can they be? And how can we live a life that reflects the joy of the Lord? I think as we look at these verses, we get some practical instruction from the Apostle Paul. He gives three principles, at least as I can see, probably more, but three as I can narrow it down for this morning. And the first of which is that joy is a choice. It's a choice. Hear this, we are not victims of life circumstances. Did you hear that? We're not victims. And happiness is not the same as joy. Happiness is an emotion that is prompted by the circumstances in life. But joy is a spiritual gift given by God to equip us for Christian living. Amen? Do you believe that? Joy is given by God to help us as we live this life. And if we believe in God and if we believe in His Word, then we must understand that He is our guide. Not fate, not karma, not some kind of uncontrollable force. God is our guide. In other words, the true source of joy, eternal joy, comes from God. And we have a choice to accept it or not. We have a choice to rejoice. Make a nice little t-shirt. I have a choice to rejoice. I have that choice. Verse 4 says it, "Rejoice in the Lord always." I'll say it again. Rejoice. Rejoice. Now understand, as Paul is writing this letter, once again, he's in prison, okay? He did a lot of writing from prison. But he is in prison. And in his predicament, in his circumstances, he is obviously and understandably not happy. You know, no happy emojis from Paul in this letter. I mean, he is not happy. He would be crazy to be happy, but he is joy-filled. His immediate future is uncertain, but he knows his eternal future is quite certain. So he proclaims, "Rejoice and allow joy to encompass you." He understood that joy is not an emotion. It is a choice. It is an attitude. It's an attitude that affects how we live life. When life angers you, choose joy. When life frustrates you, choose joy. When life hits you with grief that drops you to your knees in anguish, choose joy. Live joy. Give joy. Give joy. There's a reason why as I formulate this question in my own mind, it's like, have I given joy to anybody this week? Have I given joy away? I'm living joy, yes, but have I given joy? And the reason I ask that question is, have I given joy to anyone this week? Is because joy involves a who, not a what. Joy involves who, not what. Joy is about a who, but who's the who? Dr. Seuss. <You know. laughs> Who is the who? Seriously, can you give joy to your truck? Ladies, can you give joy to that new dress and matching shoes? You can't give joy to things. It's not about what. What leads to what next or what more, you know? Joy leads to people. See? Joy is about who. What is about something else. Joy is about who. And who is that? Jesus gave us the answer. When he was asked what the greatest commandment was, he said it was to love. Love who? Love God and one another. You see, that's our choice. The choice to live joy involves other people and God. We love God and we love each other in community. But it's still our choice to rejoice. Hear these words from the prophet Habakkuk. You don't hear Habakkuk quoted very often, do you? Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fail, and the fields produce no food. Now understand, this is an agrarian society he's writing from, and so far it's not looking good, okay? There's absolutely no crops. We grow food to feed ourselves. There's no crops. Then he goes on, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, no food, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. He says, I will revealed Habakkuk's belief that he could choose his response either to sink into despair over his circumstances or rejoice in God's presence in his life no matter the circumstances. Now understand the context of Habakkuk's life. You know, Bible scholars believe that Habakkuk probably enjoyed some of the best spiritual times in all of the history of God's people. In Israel's history, under King Josiah, was probably one of the most spiritually enriching time of the kingdom. So he got to enjoy that. Unfortunately, in a sense, he lived long enough to see King Josiah pass away, as did the spiritual context of the people. And they began to slip into moral and spiritual collapse after King Josiah's death. And as such, he was placed in a position where he was to prophesy God's judgment on the kingdom. That's not a happy job. That's not something we go, oh, sign me up for that. But yet he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. His decision to rejoice was not a denial. It wasn't a denial of the hardships of life or the sorrow of life. It wasn't a denial of all of the bad news that he knew was coming. His decision is based on the very nature of the God he served. That's it. He had a choice, and he chose to rejoice. If you look at your bulletin today, all of the hymns that are there, as well as the offertory, they have something in common. You know what that is? What is it, choir? Yeah, they were all written by Fanny Crosby. She wrote some incredible hymns. Fanny Crosby wrote over 8,000 hymns. Did you know that? 8,000 hymns. Blessed Assurance, praise Him, to God be the glory. I mean, and it goes on and on. Fanny actually lost her sight when she was only 6 weeks old. 6 weeks old. And on her 92nd birthday, she cheerfully said, "If in all the world you can find a happier or more joyous person than I am, do bring him to me. I would like to shake his hand." What a remarkable testimony. She chose joy in amidst all of life's circumstance. So we can choose joy. Secondly, I think we need to understand from this passage that we are blessed. Amen? We are blessed. I want us to understand, to truly understand just how blessed we are today. You know, if you woke up today with more health than illness, you are more blessed than tens of thousands of people who will not even survive the week. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, or the loneliness of imprisonment, or the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, then you are better off than 20 million people around the world today. If you attend a church service without fear of harassment or arrest or torture or death, then you are more blessed than almost 3 billion people in the world today. If you are lucky enough to attend College Park, you're more blessed than anybody. I'm just kidding. Okay. Took it a little bit too far. Okay. If you can read, just being able to read, if you can read, you are more blessed than over 2 billion people in the world today. If you have food in your refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof over your head, a place to sleep, just those what we would call basic essentials of life, you are still richer. You are richer than 75% of this world. Just those basics. We are so blessed. And so when I hear John stand and tell about what's going on down east, it hurts, because I know that there are people who have been displaced. There, as he told about this man carrying children out of the floodwaters because they were in danger of drowning, it touches our hearts, because I think to myself, sometimes I feel so selfish, because there are people that need what I have. And how do I get that? How do I make that happen? You know, we take so much for granted, don't we? We really do. Let me pause here and say that last Sunday started kind of a fall emphasis on Thanksgiving. We didn't say a lot about it in this service. We probably said a little bit more about it in the 9 o'clock. But this whole thing of Thanksgiving, what does it mean to be thankful? Verse 6 addresses it. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God." When we go to God in prayer, do we go out of a thankful heart or out of a greedy heart? Do we go out of a thankful heart or a resentful heart? Are we truly thankful for the blessings that God has sent our way? You know, as part of our fall emphasis on Thanksgiving, we are going to be taking up a harvest offering on November the 13th, Sunday, November the 13th. Now, the purpose of this offering is not to make up a deficit in the budget or anything. It is about expressing our heart of gratitude to the God who has given us this place, this ministry base, in order to reach out into our community to do the missions and to do the ministries that we as a people have seen together and said, this is what we choose to do. This is what we desire. This is what we believe God wants us to do with the resources we've been blessed with. And it's about taking another step to make sure that we are faithful to follow through in our commitment to do those missions and ministry. It is our need to express gratitude for the privilege of being faithful in our commitment to God. So be praying about how you'll give to this offering. We have a choice as to whether to be joyful. We need to acknowledge that we are blessed. Be thankful. And lastly, I believe that Paul warns us. He gives us a warning of sorts. In verse 6, he says, we must commit ourselves to prayer. We must be faithful in our prayer life. Let me read verse 6 to you again. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Commit ourselves to prayer. Paul says, don't worry. Don't worry about the stuff that you can't control anyway, but commit all of that in prayer. Prayer, our time, our personal time with the Creator of the universe, with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Prayer is a time when we are privileged to share with God openly and honestly. Talk with Him. Listen to Him. Talk with Him. Listen to Him. Matthew 11, verse 30, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, saith the Lord. So then if your yoke is heavy, if your burdens are weighing you down, then I would have to argue you've got the wrong yoke around your neck. Right? Because Jesus said his yoke's easy. His burden's light. So what are we carrying around? Paul says, release those burdens, cast them to the Lord in prayer. You know, that's the only way I know to do it. Fortunately, that's exactly what Scripture says to do. It's only when you entrust your worries to God that you can experience true peace, spiritual peace, His peace. Verse 7 says it, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What is that following up to? Verse 6, which says, pray. Give it to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. As we give it to God, He guards our heart. He gives us His peace. Now, I understand. We all have our concerns. We all have stuff that's bothering us. Maybe, you know, we're thinking about our health, or maybe the health of loved ones, maybe about financial futures, about the future of our country and our world, especially as it relates to our children and our grandchildren. And there's so much more. I mean, the list could go on and on of the things that maybe we're thinking about, maybe worried about. And yet, when your concerns own you, when they burden you down, that's when spiritual death spiral begins. Concerns become worries, worries that impact your very being. Obsession leads to bondage and spiritual defeat. So if you're really honest with yourself, I think we need to acknowledge before God that worrying is a selfish response to a problem. You say, no, it's not. I'm worried for so-and-so. And so that's not selfish. That's being, you know, spiritual. I would say, no, it's not. Worrying says, what am I going to do about this? Worrying in its nature says, what am I going to do? Prayer, on the other hand, is saying, I can't wait to see what God's going to do. Do you see the difference? Worrying drains us because we're depending on our resources. Prayer glorifies God because it is anticipating God's miracles, God's miraculous hand. Friends, lay your burdens down. Give them to God. As the hymn says, give them to the Lord in prayer. I heard an illustration this week about a speaker who was teaching this class, this seminar on stress management. Okay? And as she walked into the room, she walks in with a glass, and it's about half full. And the first question is, no. That's what the people there were anticipating. That's what they were anticipating. Is the glass, yes, thirsty. Is the glass half full or half empty? That's what they were expecting. And she surprised them by looking at them and saying, how heavy do you think this glass of water is? Well, the response was anywhere from 8 ounces to 22 ounces, 14 ounces. I mean, they were kind of all in that range. And she replied to them, the absolute weight of this glass and its contents absolutely does not matter. What matters is how long you hold it. If I hold it for a minute, it's not a problem. If I hold it for a half an hour, my arm begins to get tired and ache. If I hold it for hours and hours and hours, my arm will start to feel numb and become temporarily paralyzed. In each case, the weight of the glass does not change. Yet the longer I hold it, the heavier it becomes. The stresses, the worries in life are like that glass of water. Dwell on them for a short time, maybe it's not detrimental. Dwell on them for a bit longer, they begin to cause pain. And if you think about them, if you dwell on them day after day after day, you will become paralyzed, emotionally, spiritually speaking. So put the glass down. Give the glass back to God. The verse I read you a minute ago about Jesus saying that his yoke is light, the two verses preceding that in Matthew chapter 11, he writes, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Rest. Take my yoke upon you. Now we've already heard that the yoke's light. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Man. Choose joy. Understand that you are blessed and that you're called to be a blessing. Go to the Father in prayer. Go to Him in prayer. And He will turn your sorrows, He will turn your burdens, He will turn your life into joy. Let's pray and ask Him for His help. Gracious Father, so many times we choose unwisely. We choose to try to control our lives. We choose to try to fix all the circumstances. We choose to worry where there's no need. And in each of those cases, our motivation demonstrates a lack of trust in you. And so we ask for your forgiveness. Father, we also ask for your encouragement and your guidance. Knowing that we fail so often, Father, we ask that you would lead us, that you would guide us, and that we would be receptive to your Spirit as it guides us in a path that is filled with joy, not denying circumstances, Father, but choosing joy in spite of those circumstances. Father, help us to demonstrate joy to those we come in contact with, to understand that we can help people, we can hear their thoughts, we can hear their concerns without taking on the burden of feeling like we have to fix it. But Father, rather giving it to you in prayer and then allowing you to use us as you see fit. Father, we pray for the wisdom to know the difference in those particular scenarios. God, we pray that as we leave from this place today, that we would take the words of the Apostle Paul as he delivered them so fabulously to us. Father, that we would indeed choose joy. For it's in your Son's precious name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you do not know Christ, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're living on the happy train rather than joy. Because joy is a gift that comes from Him. It comes from God. It doesn't come from the world. It comes from God. So I encourage you this morning, we're going to stand and sing another Fanny Crosby hymn in just a moment. And as we sing that hymn, I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to share with you how you can have a personal relationship with Christ. If you are here and you've been living under your own strength and under your own power, and it's become frustrating and exhausting to you, there's a reason for that. Your resources are limited. God's are infinite and unlimited. Choose to tap into His ways instead of your own. Our altar will be here. If you want to pray, you can certainly pray where you are. I'd be glad to talk with you, pray with you, if that's what you like. If you're here and you'd like to be a member of this congregation, wonderful congregation of believers, I'd be glad to share with you many ways that we receive members. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing now. you've not had the joy of meeting this delightful lady, let me introduce Sally Lennon to you. She came to us by way of reading about an article about the activity of our WMU here at the church. And she said, I want to be a part of a church like that. She's 98 years old, and she says she's got 20 more years to devote to the Lord's service. So she wants to do that here. Amen? She is coming under watch care. Her home membership is down at Winter Park in Wilmington, but she wants to come here by watch care, be a member by watch care. And I said, we will be delighted to have her with us. Would you join me in saying amen if that is your agreement? Yes. Amen. Yes. Fantastic. I want you to come by and meet her. She is a delightful lady. I know you will want to speak to her and offer a word of encouragement following our benediction and the choral response. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day, a day filled with joy, a day filled with sunshine, both outside and inside. Father, as your sun shines through us, we pray that we would reflect your glory and your purposes, not our own. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.